Now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Lobbyists. Famous for their five-star lunches and their moral turpitude, President-elect Obama's transition team has refused to take money from them after the infamous dissent of super lobbyist Jack Abramoff sullied their reputations. And yet today, from the opinion pages of the Washington Times, a shocking plea on their behalf from Washington lawyer and political analyst Lanny Davis. Lobbyists are good people, too. Davis argues that the problem isn't the lobbyists, it's the absence of transparency. So, out there, if you're a lobbyist, we do want you to call. We promise we won't call you names. We won't give out your email address. Let us know whether or not the total transparency that Davis suggests could work. Give us a call. The number here is 1-800-989-8255. You can always email us at talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Lanny Davis is here with us in Studio 3A. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks. I'm glad to be on with such a shocking revelation.
Well, first I need to ask, for the record, are you a lobbyist?
I do very little lobbying, but I do share one characteristic. This is the second shocking revelation with other lobbyists. We are actually human beings.
Really?
This is a headline.
Can you prove that?
Look, the point of my column is that the way that the term is being used is both unfair and inaccurate. Lobbyists perform a vital, some would say indispensable, function, which is information and expertise transmitted to people in government who don't have either and need both in order to make the right decisions. They also represent their clients, who also, shocking, employ real people with real jobs. And if legislation is going to adversely affect those companies, then under our system of government, those folks ought to have a voice in government. Excuse me.
Would you like some water?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Was there a point where you can sort of identify where lobbyists became a bad word?
Sure. When a lobbyist gives a politician a campaign donation, the politician, as a result, does something contrary to his or her conscience, that's a crime. Both of them should go to jail, and both have. Going back in American history, that's always been the case, where we have some bad apples that are crooks, and then they make it bad for the rest of the barrel. In fact, most lobbyists, including, I added in my column today, lobbyists for the Girl Scouts of America, Boy Scouts of America, American Cancer Society, and lots of other good organizations, use lobbyists the same way that companies do, to express their perspective as part of our right to petition our government. The problem isn't the lobbying, which is an important function, indeed an indispensable function. It's, as you said in the introduction, the absence of transparency, and I have some ideas on that.
All right. Well, when you talk about transparency, let's define some terms. What do you mean?
I mean full and complete disclosure. I said in my piece the words total transparency should be a redundancy, except a lot of people use transparent, don't really mean it. Mm. I mean that what's bad about lobbyists is that people don't know who is paying them and how much money they've given to the politician. And most importantly, what are they asking the politician to do? The politician should want that information publicly available so that when he votes one way or the other, he can say, it's not because of causation, because I've received a campaign donation, which would be a crime. It's because of correlation, meaning that's the way I think as a matter of conscience. The fact that I got a campaign donation is simply a fact side by side with what I did for the right reasons. Politicians are unfairly accused of just because they took a campaign donation, they can't vote their conscience in case their conscience is the same as the donor's request. And that's really where the bad rap comes in. A lot of lobbyists contribute money to politicians, and a lot of politicians take it. That doesn't mean that the politician doesn't do the right thing, but we need full disclosure, take the mystery out of the process, and I think then the bad rap goes away.
Well, if lobbyists are people too, aren't politicians people too? And it would be very, very easy to be swayed by someone who was so generous to you?
You know, I'm not so sure I'd go so far as to say politicians are people, too. So I'm not that, no, I'm only kidding.
Not that crazy. Let's not go overboard here.
Sure. And the way I end my column is that it's really to the benefit of both. Look, 99% of the people I know in public life are underpaid, overworked, and are honest people. And that's a fact. Both sides, the politician and the lobbyist, would be advantaged by transparency so that everybody would know, be able to judge for themselves, and there's no mystery behind it.
We have a few folks on the line. We're going to speak now with Bud. Bud, you're in Tallahassee?
Yes, that's correct.
And Bud, you are a lobbyist.
Yeah, we lobby for state and local governments and getting money from the federal government a lot of times for projects here in Florida.
And Bud, what do you think about this idea of total transparency? Would that work out for you?
That's what we do now anyway. We're in Florida.
Oh, I think Bud's gone into one of those dreaded cell holes, telephone holes. All right, maybe we'll get Bud back on the air. Let's go to Kyle in Greensboro. Kyle, you pose an interesting question.
Yeah, I heard that your guest said something about the value of lobbyists is to provide information to legislatures, but I question how valuable that information can truly be when it's coming from an organization with a known agenda.
Well, it ought to have a known agenda, because the reason why we have the right to petition our government is to get our own perspective across to somebody who may be voting in a way that affects our jobs or our lives. So having a perspective or a special interest, as they say, the American Cancer Society, which I noted in my column today, spent $20 million on lobbying in the last 10 years. They have a perspective. They want to help people cure cancer. The perspective is not the problem. The problem is that we ought to know what that perspective is. We ought to know if there are campaign donations. We ought to know that the politician is able to vote his or her conscience, not being influenced by the donation. So I believe the only answer is transparency, not to make a broad generalization about all lobbyists being bad.
What do you think, Kyle? Does that work for you?
Yeah, but I mean, not every lobbying firm is the American Cancer Society. And I would also say that shouldn't we also have transparency when it comes to, you know, where the information that that lobby is providing the legislators with is coming from? I mean, there's a lot of organizations out there that will get some think tank to, say, cook the books on the information that they're providing the legislatures, and that goes into the policymaking and the decision-making that we see time and time again come forward that maybe not be the best.
Kyle, thanks for bringing up that point. Kyle brings up an interesting, you know, you can look at any poll number and come out, set of poll numbers, and come out with a different answer. You can look at any set of data, and one person says, yes, the sky is falling, and the other person says, but from that data, I see the sky is being held up. What do you think about in terms of transparency of how people get their information that they're giving to our elected officials?
I'm sure that there would be a good idea for any written documents that are submitted to a member of Congress to be posted on the website of the lobbyist disclosure form, mm-hmm. so that the information can be tested for accuracy. But at some point in time, we have to trust our public officials to have staff who are going to fact check. And if they end up voting based upon misinformation, I can tell you, having done a little bit of lobbying, it's not my practice, but I've done a little bit, that if you get caught saying something inaccurate to a public official, you don't get a second try in that office. So most lobbyists are very careful about misleading people that they're lobbying.
We're talking to Lanny Davis. He wrote an op-ed today that says, the title is, Lobbyists Are Good People Too. We're putting out questions to folks who are lobbyists or who have questions about it. Lois from East Lansing, Michigan joins us. Hi, Lois.
Hi.
What's your question?
My statement actually is that you people, the lobbyists, that is, have as bad a reputation as Congress has at this point, and I don't think there's any hope that you can be reinstated on a trustworthy level.
Well, I guess the point of my column, Lois, is that anybody that starts a sentence out by saying "you people" is headed in the wrong direction, because generalizations are usually inaccurate, and I'm sure you don't mean to be inaccurate. You don't mean the Boy Scouts of America or the American Cancer Society when you say "you people." You probably mean a lobbyist who represents a company who has a viewpoint different than your own, and I don't blame you. You should oppose that viewpoint to your member of Congress, and you ought to know what the viewpoint is through a full disclosure so you have an opportunity to weigh in with an opposite viewpoint. But I think starting out any sentence with "you people" is a bad thing. Personally, I think it's better to be specific than to generalize.
I want to get back to your point about transparency. We started to discuss some of the ways that we could be more transparent, lobbyists could be more transparent. Let's go through a few.
Well, the easiest and pretty radical idea, but it's so simple I can't believe that it isn't the current policy, is when a lobbyist enters a member of Congress or any executive branch official who's also subject to lobbying disclosure, he ought to be able to, or she ought to be required to sign in onto a computer live, online. So as you're signing in, anyone who wants to check on can notice you're signing in. You ought to have to disclose what I said in my column, why you're there, what you're asking for, how much you're being paid, whether you've given any campaign donations. That's sort of a minimum. I wouldn't mind doing that as a sometime lobbyist. I want people to know they don't have to agree with my client's perspective, but my client has a legitimate perspective, protecting my client's interest. Now let other perspectives weigh in so the congressperson can, or senator can, make the right decision. So the online real-time disclosure idea, I'm not sure why anyone hasn't thought of it before, or if they have, why it isn't being done. I suspect that some of my lobbying friends might say, you're going too far, but I don't know. To me, it's in everyone's interest to get the cloak of mystery, as I said, out of the name lobbyist, because they really are indispensable in a democracy.
Lobbyists are good people, too, so says Lanny Davis. This is Talk of the Nation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation on NPR, from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart. Joining me in studio is Lanny Davis. He's a lawyer, a political analyst, and an op-ed writer today in the Washington Times. If you haven't seen it, the title of his op-ed is "Lobbyists Are Good People, Too." You've been very game to be in the studio and take some calls from some of our listeners. Let's check in with John from Miami, Florida. Hello, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'd like to make a quick comment. First of all, it seems like we talk about the horrible, evil lobbyist, but we only hear about that when they represent, say, a particular corporation or industry. Well, you know what? I mean, I work for a retail company, and if a lobbyist represents my boss or my industry, that's probably good for me, too, because I get to have my job and get things better. But we also often don't hear about other groups, maybe labor unions, for example, who are lobbying when they're parts of the political parties themselves, or ones that represent the Nature Conservancy or, Boy Scouts, or people who do good things for the communities. Those are lobbying people, too, and everyone should have a right to represent themselves to our government.
Well, I certainly thank you for saying what I said in my column, and you're absolutely correct. Perhaps we ought to just reinvent the word. I looked up on Google where the word lobbying came from, mm-hmm. and some people think Ulysses S. Grant invented it when he would hang out in the lobby of the Willard Hotel when he was president. and it sort of goes way back. Gucci Gulch is another pejorative. I think if we just thought of it as petitioning government under the First Amendment guaranteed right to go to government when government might be doing something that affects you directly or indirectly, and we had full disclosure, we might be able to get rid of this, I think, silly argument that all lobbyists are bad or that all lobbyists are good. They represent particular interests, and we leave it to our legislators to decide what's the right thing to do.
John from Miami. Thanks, John. I think maybe the elephant in the room on this subject is the amount of money that it costs to hire a lobbying firm and the amount of money it would take for an organization to have access to our elected officials. Do you believe that the amount, what do you think about that idea? Not do you believe, let me ask a broader question. What do you think about the idea that there's so much money involved? Do you think that flavors people's opinions about lobbyists?
No question, you have the right expression. The elephant in the room is money. Money paid to lobbyists, money lobbyists and their clients give to politicians, creating an appearance of a quid pro quo, which is corrupt. If you pay money and get something in return to a public official, that is a crime on both sides. We have no answer to getting rid of money in politics yet. The public doesn't want to have its tax dollars used to pay for campaigns. We've tried that idea out many times. And yet we're never going to get rid of money in helping to elect people. And we can use the internet to have donations smaller the way President-elect Obama brilliantly did, but we're still going to have money. So I have no answer. And of course, the more money that one gives, the more campaign events you go to, the more likely it is that you'll have an appointment with the member you have donated money to. So money, quote, buying access is an ugly fact of American political life. And we would like to think that somebody that doesn't donate money would also have equal access. I'm afraid that in many instances that is not the case. It should be, but I'm afraid sometimes more money buys more access. The ultimate safeguard is transparency. We ought to at least know how much is being given, how much is being paid, and most importantly, what is the ask? What is the lobbyist asking the member of Congress to do? Then we can all judge for ourselves whether when the member votes one way or another, it's an act of causation or an act of correlation, meaning is he or her doing the right thing, or is he doing it because they were paid this donation?
Do you think the incoming administration will have people who were once lobbyists in it?
Yes, and I respect greatly President-elect Obama. I'm excited about his presidency, but I really did believe that the generalized policy against lobbyists giving campaign contributions often struck me as overbroad.
Lanny Davis joins us here in Studio 3A. His op-ed, Lobbyists Are Good People Too, appeared in today's Washington Times. He is a lawyer with Orrick Herrington in Washington, D.C. Thanks for coming on down.
Thanks for having me.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart in Washington.